From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, April 25th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
A close friend of the Lewiston mass shooter testified on Thursday that the would-be gunman's anger and paranoia only increased after his hospitalization last summer. And as Kevin Miller reports, he warned his reserve commanders weeks beforehand about his friend's increasingly threatening behavior.
Staff Sergeant Sean Hodgson testified publicly for the first time on Thursday about his years-long friendship with Robert Card, but also how he saw his friend's personality change. Hodgson says Card first told him in the summer of 2022 that people were talking behind his back and calling him a pedophile. Hodgson told a special commission investigating the shooting that his friend's anger and paranoia increased last summer after his Army Reserve leaders brought him for a psychiatric evaluation during a training mission to West Point in New York. But Hodgson says that experience didn't help Card.
He was aggravated, more upset, very angry, and it grew and grew. It increased after the hospitalization.
For weeks afterward, Hodgson says Card repeatedly blamed other members and leaders of their Army Reserve unit for his hospitalization. And he said he sent a text to Reserve commanders last September, warning that Card might commit a mass shooting, and Hodgson was convinced he could harm fellow reservists or others. Card killed 18 people and injured 13 about 6 weeks later. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The Maine Office of Tourism says visitors spent more than $9 billion here last year, a nearly 5% increase over the year before. And though fewer people visited Maine, those who did stayed longer and spent more. Nicola Grisco reports.
Just over 15 million people visited Maine last year. Steve Lyons, director of the Maine Office of Tourism, says it's possible that the rainy summer weather kept that number from being even higher.
We are a drive market here in the state of Maine, and so therefore people can make last-minute decisions as to whether they're going to come and visit or not. But I think overall we did see a return, and we did see the number of people coming back, even though it might have been a little wet to be in the summer.
The total number of days that visitors spent in Maine increased by nearly 4% last year. And overall, tourism accounted for a $16 billion impact on the Maine economy. Lyon says Maine's restaurant scene continues to be a major draw for tourists and that state officials will continue to promote Maine as a culinary destination. Visitors spent more than $2 billion at restaurants alone in 2023, a nearly 7% increase over the previous year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicola Grisco.
Casco Bay Lines has approved new ferry rates that will mean higher prices for day trippers, but cheaper fares for residents and other frequent users. As of June, the cost of a round-trip ticket to Peaks Island will rise from less than $8 to $14 during the peak summer season, which runs from mid-April to mid-October. The price of monthly and annual ticket packages, however, will fall by at least 40%. Casco Bay Lines treasurer Jennifer Loventure says the service is dealing with a multi-million dollar operating deficit and has relied on grant funding to stay afloat. She says new rates will help to stabilize funding and avoid other drastic actions, such as cutting service.
Which would clearly have great impact on those of us who live and work and rely on the ferry service to travel to and from work, our homes.
At a hearing on Thursday, many island residents said they supported the plan, but some raised questions about the need for such a large increase. Officials expect the new rates could bring in about $500,000 of new revenue each year. And a study on rockweed recovery released last year by graduate students at UMaine is being challenged by other marine researchers. The study found that rockweed biomass recovered from harvesting in just 1 year, but Dr. Robin Hadlock Seely, a retired marine ecologist and co-founder of the Maine Rockweed Coalition, says she found flaws in how the study was designed and how the data were analyzed. Study author Dr. Elliot Johnston says the harvest areas in his study were irregular, patchy cuts, and the outcomes of those varied experimental harvests was the point of his research.
That was one of the takeaways or intentions of our paper. You know, it's in our title. It says bed scale impact. And we felt like there was a gap in the rockweed harvest literature in the scale at which harvest is studied.
Seely says that most scientists conclude rockweed biomass takes 2 to 3 years to recover, and the height, three-dimensional structure, and canopy of the rockweed forest also matter. She says inaccurate data can impact marine resource managers, conservation agencies, landowners, and others who manage the resource. Collecting baseball cards is almost as American as the sport itself, conjuring images of overstuffed binders and dusty shoeboxes under the bed. The sports card hobby fell into a decline during the mid-1990s, but has recently come roaring back into a multi-billion dollar industry, attracting a new generation of passionate collectors. Nick Song has more.
Coastal sports collectibles along U.S. Route 1A outside Ellsworth is hard to miss. The bright orange bungalow storefront sits alone on the roadside, standing out like a hunting vest from the surrounding trees. Travis Storr opened the sports card shop less than a year ago, although he himself has been collecting for decades.
My grandmother got me started collecting baseball cards in 1986. I liked sports as a kid. She was collecting cards before I did. She showed me cards and I jumped on board.
Baseball cards have, of course, been around for much longer, since at least the 1860s. In those early days, the cards were a way to market cigarette cartons and later chewing gum. The hobby has since spilled over into other major sports and evolved over the years. Having stalled in the mid-90s due to overproduction, sports cards experienced a major resurgence during the pandemic. For James Spencer of Glenburn, collecting baseball cards is a link to his past.
A lot of the cards I have been handed down through the family or gifted to me. And it's fun to have and look through on rainy days and, you know, remember like, hey, my uncle gave me that card when I was my 16th birthday. Like, hey, this is the special Ted Williams card or, you know, something like that.
As of 2 years ago, according to Verified Market Research, the sports card industry was estimated to be worth around $12.6 billion. That's expected to almost double by 2030. Yet the ritual of ripping a fresh pack of cards open in the hopes of finding your favorite player remains the same.
I'd love to like open up a couple packs. Like obviously, you know, I can pay for it.
Do you like your average paper card? Do you like the chrome shiny stuff? I mean, it's all about what you enjoy. So let's do this. So let's take a pack of Stadium Club and you can do a pack of chrome. And let's see how that goes.
Okay, so we have the packs right here, right?
Yep, so that's your 23 okay. Tops chrome. Oh, look at that. You've got a nice hit already. Yeah, you got a prism. You see, it's got kind of a prism look. Yeah, you refract it in the light. It's got a little prism feel to it.
Yeah.
Prism Corbin Carroll. This is probably somewhere between $10 and $12.
Wow.
So for the average person that just spent $8 on a pack of cards, you just made $4.
Wow.
That's okay. A good pack. Nice.
Rarity is the driving force for these cards. 2 years ago, a 1952 Mickey Mantle rookie card sold at auction for $12.5 million. In their modern cards, sports card companies like Topps and Panini create rarity by inserting limited edition cards into packs. These include autographed cards and relic cards that are embedded with actual artifacts, such as a piece of a player-worn jersey. John Holden is a business professor at Oklahoma State University who researches the industry. Holden says manufacturers further drive demand by printing highly desirable cards with different colors and textured backgrounds.
So not only are you chasing a rookie card, but you're also chasing the rarest of the rookie cards. Companies are really now latching onto that and sort of artificially creating rarity within that already desirable area.
Nowadays, there are more entry points than ever to engage in the hobby. JC and Mary Roberto are a married couple in Boston who run the card influencer account tcg.jc. The Robertos live stream card pack openings on social media and often incorporate carnival-like games into their streams. Their 7-foot-tall prize wheel, which people can spin to win cards and packs, is especially popular at in-person card shows.
Kid's lucky.
Whoa.
Oh, he won some.
What a job!
And you won 3 greater cards.
That's our top prize.
That's our top prize.
That's amazing.
You want to hold them up?
Mary says she enjoys seeing this youngest generation of card collectors at these events.
A lot of, I would say young girls specifically, go to the shows with like their families or their fathers. They're talking to us about the cards that we have. And I'm a teacher full time. So seeing the kids come over to the table and win a prize and light up just like makes my entire day.
But there are a few dark clouds on the sports card horizon. A few years ago, sports merchandising behemoth Fanatics went on a corporate shopping spree, buying the exclusive card manufacturing rights for Major League Baseball, acquiring the Topps brand and company, and inking a 20-year exclusive deal with the NFL and NBA. That has stirred fears that a Fanatics Topps monopoly could have total pricing power over the market and stifle the hobby. The card company Panini filed an antitrust lawsuit last August against Fanatics, where it's currently awaiting trial. Nevertheless, sports card collecting has proven resilient over the years. The hobby has survived previous monopolies and booms and busts alike. Enthusiasts will tell you that it's still a great way of connecting with your idols on the field.
Okay, oh, Mookie Betts, my favorite player.
Ah.
Yeah, there we go. At Dodger Stadium.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's perfect. I'm gonna hold on to that.
That's the fun part about this hobby. There's no right or wrong approach. Whether you like to rip boxes or you like to collect singles, there really is no right or wrong way to do it.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nick Song.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Friday morning for Arbor Day, we'll talk about how the American chestnut tree has been brought back from near extinction. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening.